This following tape is given by Dr. Stan and Dave Rydell. It's about the weapons depot at Qamishia in Iraq during the Gulf War.
But this afternoon we have a very special guest, Mr. Dave Rydell, and he is married to Joyce Riley, and we've had Joyce on before. Joyce was carried, forced to be with a Gulf War veteran who's having some serious illness. And so Dave's going to do the program before, and of course he, right on top of this, he's done talk radio for years in the past. The problem that we have is that we have a serious illness that has been unleashed in America, and any one of you listening or your children are susceptible to this, and the government, unfortunately, is lying. Now, how do I know what I say? Well, of course, a lot of what I've gotten is from talking to people who've done a lot of investigation, but within the last week, I called a physician. He's a neurologist at a large veterans hospital in the United States. I won't tell you where he is because he's in enough trouble already. He has been doing MRIs, where you can actually get a picture of the brain and spinal column of these Gulf War veterans, and many of them have serious neurological problems, defects, which you can actually see on the picture. And when I called him, I said, I'd like to know about your studies, and he said, I can't talk to you. He said, I'm being investigated. He said, they're after me. I'm having to go before a board. I'm accused of conducting unauthorized research. Well, what he's doing is trying to find out what's wrong with these boys who went to the Gulf War thinking they were fighting for freedom, fighting for you out there in the audience. And, of course, so many of them are sick. There are over 86,000 files or applications that have been put in to the Veterans Hospital as of a couple of years ago from Gulf War veterans. And that's just the people that are out of the Army. There are an awful lot more still in the Army who are able to function at more or less within the military, and of course they don't dare complain because if they do, they'll be thrown out of the military. Dr. Garth Nicholson, I've personally interviewed. He has been threatened. People come into his office and from the government threatening him, trying to keep him from getting the information out about the infectious nature of at least many of the illnesses that involve the Gulf War veterans. We have two Senate reports. We have both the Rockefeller report and the report by Senator Riegel, both of which show that the wives and the children of the veterans are coming down ill. And the fact that most Americans have no concept of this shows the degree of control that today exists over what the American people think. There are a number of studies, and for those of you who have access to the Journal of the American Medical Association, January 15th, 1997, four articles on the Gulf War syndrome, three of them show definitely that there is an illness, and two of them show measurable, electronically measurable neurological defects in many of these veterans, and yet the government is saying, oh, there's really nothing there. Or you know, strangely, all the records on release of the chemicals have just disappeared, but General Schwarzkopf and General Colin Powell have guaranteed, they've promised us, they've told us that there were no chemicals released in the Gulf, and they wouldn't lie to us, would they? Dave, it's good to have you with us.
Thank you for having me on the show.
Why don't you give a little of the background, and then, of course, you have some very interesting statements by General Schwarzkopf and by the people who are very close to him.
Yes, indeed. And first of all, just want to comment quickly about this doctor that you said that you'd contacted and who was afraid to come forward and speak with you. This is going on all over the country, and I want to address this issue very briefly. For all of the individuals that are afraid to come forward for fear of repercussions, for fear of losing their job or placing their status in jeopardy, I want them to understand something, that unless they do come forward, if they're worried about their future security, their children's security, well, one guy said that he has five kids in college and he wants to make sure that they have a future. Unless people like you come forward, you are guaranteeing that you and your children will not have a future.
Because we're actually under bacteriological attack today.
Yes, we are.
Of course, according to Dr. Nicholson, 20% of the population of Kuwait and about 20% of the population of Iraq are seriously ill at the present time.
That's true. And Joyce spoke with an Iraqi national about 3 or 4 weeks ago who is here in the States because he is a relative of a high-ranking Iraqi official. And he's here for a kidney transplant. And he informed Joyce that the numbers that we've gotten out of the Middle East are way out of whack. He said that in Iraq they have over 2 million deaths from this illness. And the number of deformed children and irregular pregnancies, stillbirths, are so numerous that they've stopped counting them.
Well, I know as of about a year ago, they had lost already over 500,000, 560,000 children. This was about a year ago.
Yes.
Since the Gulf War, 560,000 children had died. And, of course, it was being blamed at that time on the embargo as far as vaccines and medicine. But
absolutely.
I'm sure many of these were Gulf War syndrome.
Well, the whole point of this whole thing, Stan, is that America is being lied to. And they're being lied to by some of the people that we have trusted for many years. And I wanted to just say that before we get into these clips. And I want to warn your listeners that what you're going to hear today on this program is going to upset you. And I want to apologize for that in the beginning. But please understand that the material that you're going to hear is not my material. It is not Joyce's material. This is from the words of the people themselves, and it is from government documentation. We are nothing more than the messenger. So if you want to be upset at the message itself.
Not at the messenger.
With that, I want to jump right in here, and I want to play. I have several clips I'd like to play for you. And what happened is on January 29th, General Norman Schwarzkopf testified before the Senate Committee on the Investigation of the Gulf War Illness, and it was chaired by Arlen Specter and Jay Rockefeller. Now, in his opening statement, this is a prepared statement from General Norman Schwarzkopf. He said the following. Listen carefully.
I never received, before, during, or after hostilities, any report of Iraqi use of chemical weapons, nor the discovery of or destruction of Iraqi chemical weapons.
Okay, now he said, I never received, before, during, or after hostilities, any report of Iraqi use of chemical weapons. I am now going to refer to one of the pages from the Nuclear, Biological, and Chemical Desk Log. Now, the desk logs have been in the news because, as you may have heard, three-quarters of these things have turned up missing.
Isn't that strange?
Isn't that funny? Well, the Gulf War Veterans of Georgia, through a FOIA request about 9 or 10 months ago, came up with about 37 pages. Now, I don't know what happened to the rest of the desk logs, but if the rest of them are as damning as these 37 pages, I can understand why they would have mysteriously disappeared. I am now going to quote from one of these desk logs. This particular log is March 3rd, 1991, at 15:15 hours. And again, you heard Schwarzkopf say he never received any report of Iraqi chemical weapons. I quote, Lieutenant Colonel Wade advised that Colonel Dunn has confirmed that the soldier of the 3rd Armored Division does have blisters characteristic of H mustard chemical agent on his upper and lower left arm. Now, that sure does sound like a chemical weapon to me. I am also going to remind your listeners that Schwarzkopf continued, and he said, nor the discovery of or the destruction of Iraqi chemical weapons. I now refer to the desk log, the NBC desk log, dated 27 February 1991, at 15:45 hours, and I quote, subject, commander's guidance for disposition of captured chemical and biological munitions. That sure sounds like the discovery of to me. Later on that same day, at 1800 hours, again, I quote, they feel destruction of small quantities using feel method is okay. Bulk destruction is not approved because it may have great international implications. So, we have a report of a chemical weapon. We have a report of a discovery of chemical and biological weapons, and we have a report of destruction of chemical weapons. Now, this flies in the face of what General Schwarzkopf said, and I ask your listeners to decide for themselves. Now, what happened, do we have to take a break sometime soon?
No, you go ahead. We'll sort of fudge, and we'll take a longer break at 30 minutes after.
Okay, great, because I have several clips. If you don't mind, I want to get these things out there for your listeners. These are of gargantuan importance here. Now, what we did is after we taped General Schwarzkopf's testimony from C-SPAN, that's where we got these clips. I called up Sergeant Dan Topolsky on the telephone. Now, Sergeant Topolsky was the nuclear, biological, and chemical non-commissioned officer in charge of the 37th Engineering Battalion, and he was in the bunkers at Kamisea before they were detonated. Now, it's important for your listeners to understand that Kamisea was not a bunker. It was a bunker complex consisting of 100 bunkers and 40 warehouses, each the size of a Walmart. We're talking about a virtual city of chemical munitions 10 square miles in size. Now, I played on the telephone these clips of General Schwarzkopf to Dan Topolsky, and he responded to each one. Now, I'm going to play for you Sergeant Topolsky's response to General Schwarzkopf's statement that you heard a few minutes ago. Here is Sergeant Dan Topolsky.
General Schwarzkopf is lying. He knew all the way through the air campaign that they were getting positive readings, and we were getting positive readings for nerve agents and blister agents and Lewisite mustard agents on all of our detection devices, everything from the M8 alarm all the way up to the Fox vehicles. I have congressional testimony. I have my own personal knowledge, and I also have copies of his own NBC logs from CENTCOM that he read every single day. He had knowledge of it all the way through.
Okay. Now, again, that is Sergeant Dan Topolsky disputing, obviously, what General Schwarzkopf had testified to. I'd like to move up a little bit. Later on in General Schwarzkopf's testimony, the subject of Kamisea came up. And when the word Kamisea was uttered, this is what General Schwarzkopf had to say. Now, this is a very short clip. It's only about 3.5 or 4 seconds. But listen to what General Schwarzkopf said the first time Kamisea was brought up. Listen carefully.
As I stated, the first time I ever heard of Kamisea was in 1996 when it was first announced by the Department of Defense, and nobody was more surprised than I was.
Okay. He said, the first time I ever heard about Kamisea was 1996. About a half an hour later, the subject of the destruction of chemical weapons came up, and again, Kamisea came up in the conversation. This is what General Schwarzkopf said a half an hour after he made the statement he hadn't heard of Kamisea till 1996. Listeners, you decide.
I remember General Franks came to me, and I assume it was Kamisea he was talking about at the time, because it was about the same time frame, and talked about this huge ammunition dump that they had found with literally tons and tons and tons of ammunition in it, and there was no way they could possibly retrograde it. And I challenged him on that, and he convinced me that, no, they couldn't retrograde it, and therefore they were going to destroy it in place. I said, fine, now that's Kamisea.
Stan, what do you think of, what does that make you think about when you hear that?
Makes me think that if he were in a court of law, he'd be charged with perjury.
You know, I'm glad that you said that, because it's very interesting to note that when General Schwarzkopf sat down to testify, he was not sworn in. Did not swear General Schwarzkopf in. They've sworn in everybody else that has come to testify before the Senate committees and before the congressional investigations into the Gulf War illness, but they did not swear in Schwarzkopf. So I guess they can't get him on perjury, can they?
No, but the tragedy is, of course, he betrayed his men. But, of course, don't you think that in some ways, Dave, that we're a part of this is chemical and part of it is bacteriological, and all the emphasis is on the chemical to distract us from the bacteriological aspect of this, which is the potential threat to the men, women, and children listening to this program.
Absolutely, and I'm glad that you brought that up, because when I played those two clips that you just heard, those two conflicting testimonies that General Schwarzkopf made, I played those for Sergeant Topolsky. And I'd like to, and I'm glad you said that, because that leads me right into this next clip. Again, here's Sergeant Dan Topolsky.
General Schwarzkopf, I know for a fact that you know or knew about Kamisea prior to 1996. I was there. My name is Dan Topolsky. I was a sergeant. I was the NBC NCO for the 37th Engineer Battalion. I was in those bunkers. I identified suspected chemical agents and biological agents. I sent the information forward. We were instructed to blow it up anyway. And I am appalled that you will take the stance that you did not have any knowledge of it when we gave you the information and we were instructed from higher, which is you, to blow it anyway.
Now, the key here, Stan, was that Dan Topalsky just said that they identified chemical and biological munitions in that bunker complex.
I see. And, of course, now nothing at all is said about biological. This is constantly played down. But how do you explain the wives and the children of infected veterans coming down with a similar illness?
Well, that very good. You cannot, because I'm sure you're well aware that if you are exposed to a chemical, you may get ill and you may have some genetic or DNA damage or neurological damage, and then any children that you bring forth after that fact may have problems. However, a chemical exposure is not going to be transmittable from one person to the next, to the next, to the next. This is only done with a biological component.
And that, now, of course, was they don't want the American public to understand.
No, they do not. And as a matter of fact, I'm sure you're well aware that the front page of the Sunday Los Angeles Times had a headline that said the Gulf War illness is contagious.
Right.
And they got into Dr. Garth Nicholson, and they also mentioned my wife, Joyce Riley. And then the government came back with their response that there is no evidence that this is communicable. However, these people are obviously not looking at their own records, because according to Senator Donald Regal, in his report 1994 and his press release of February 9th, 1994, he came out and said, yes, our troops were exposed to biologicals. They're sick, they're dying, and they're transferring their illnesses to their wives and to their children at the rate of 75% from every affected Gulf War veteran. The government is lying again. And this time, it's costing America our very lives.
And, of course, the fascinating thing was I went back, I looked at the papers, both the New York Times and the Washington Post, pardon me, the Washington Times at that time, and the only article I found was in the Washington Times, and it just said, well, Senator Regal really didn't come up with much of anything. Now, I have the report, which you were good enough to send me, and there's just no question that what Dave Riddell is saying is actually true. So this what has happened is they have released this illness into our society, and everything is being done to cover it up. How many people do you think are actually ill in Iraq today? You said that they lost, at least Joyce had been told, that they'd lost about 2 million people. How many people are ill? Garth Nicholson had said about 20% of the population. What are the figures that Joyce got? Does she get any idea of what proportion of the Iraqi society there, population, was ill?
Well, when Joyce spoke to this individual back from Iraq, he did not give her any numbers. However, percentage-wise, his percentage, he said somewhere between 20 and 25%, which is right along the lines of what Garth Nicholson had said. So that's all we have to go on right now. But I think it's very important that your listeners understand that this is not just a national cover-up. This is an international cover-up. And the reason I wanted to mention that is because another thing that came out of this Camisea bunker complex is a videotape. You see, one of the troops from the 37th Engineering Battalion brought a video camera into those bunkers and videotaped the investigation of these munitions. Now, we have a copy of that videotape. We have viewed it, and it is shocking because as these individuals went through and inspected these bunkers, the camera zoomed in on the crates, and not once did we see a crate with Arabic writing on it. Every time they zoomed in on a crate, it was written in English, and in a few cases, it was written in Russian.
And, of course, what you're suggesting is that these were chemicals and biologicals that we had sent.
Yes, we had sent them, and yes, there were green and yellow stripes on these munitions. There were the biohazard, the chemical insignia that they have on the boxes, the warning signal. And we saw the boxes that indicated clearly that they had been shipped from Jordan, from the United Kingdom, from Nottingham, England. We've even got the town off of this. We have crates that had Russian markings indicating that they were from the Soviet Union, as well as American markings. Now, see, it's very important that the listeners understand that in 1972, all of those above countries were signatories to the Geneva Convention, which forbids the proliferation, the sale, or the use of weapons of mass destruction.
And yet we were actually giving these to Iraq, supposedly that they were going to use them against Iran, and they were going to use poison gas, which we were helping them to create or maybe even giving to them to use against Iran in violation of all international law. They killed off 200,000 Kurds with the poison gas, and we were supporting them when they did it.
That's right, but you know, the thing is that that argument doesn't wash because we sold it to both sides. We sold it to Iraq and to Iran. And the issue is that those weapons shouldn't have been sold to anybody.
Sure.
So what we're saying here is that after this conflict was over and our troops were backing out of Iraq and they were going into these bunkers, they were destroying these munitions not so much because they didn't want Saddam Hussein to regain control of those munitions. They were destroying those bunkers to destroy the evidence of international crimes.
Well, you know, there's all sorts of fascinating and rather frightening implications, because we did an interview with the gentleman from the Veterans of Foreign Wars earlier this week, and he, of course, his specialty is the Gulf War, and he pointed out exactly what you and Joyce have pointed out, is that the French don't have this disease, but they anticipated exactly what was going to happen. They gave their troops, is it doxycycline that they give them, the antibiotic?
That's right. They were given doxycycline prophylactically.
The French were, because they knew it was coming. They had it for our boys, and they refused to give it to them. And, of course, the French refused to give them the vaccines that created so much illness. The
that
experimental
is correct.
Vaccines that were used on our troops. And sometime in the next week or so, I hope maybe I'll have time to play for our listeners that terrifying interview I did with a man from the Veterans of Foreign Wars back in Washington, D.C., which has confirmed almost everything that Joyce and Dave have been telling us, down through this last few months. Go ahead.
Well, you know, I think that you're going to see a lot of flack coming our way, because as we said before, if you can't destroy the message, you got to destroy the messenger. So I think you're going to see some newspaper and magazine articles coming out, some print articles, and maybe even some news broadcasts that are going to link Joyce or myself with some unsavory, unscrupulous characters, and they're going to come out with all kinds of slams about Joyce's credibility. I do want to point out to your listeners that the information that Joyce has been coming out with for the past 2 years, aside from an introductory letter in her information package, everything, and I underline everything, is government documentation or DOD memos, newspaper clippings and magazine clippings from the major newspapers and magazines in this country. In other words, there is no such thing as, quote, Joyce Riley material, aside from an introductory letter.
Riley, who we've had before, but they're a team, and certainly Dave is right on top of all of the things that are going on. Our telephone number, 464-8295, or 1-888-24-LIBERTY. You remember I started the program talking about the doctor at the Veterans Administration Hospital, who told me he was frankly afraid to talk to me because he was under such pressure because he was trying to do what was right and treat these Gulf War veterans and identify the neurological lesions, advancing neurological lesions, which are crippling many of these boys who were patriotic, who loved America, and went to the Gulf to fight. And, of course, the problem is we should all love America. It is simply that the wicked have seized reins of control because the good people and the churches have been afraid to speak out. Well, Dr. Garth Nicholson was a professor at MD Anderson Clinic. He said he'd published 450 papers. Now, I don't believe much of what people tell me, and so I checked him out. We went to the local computer and started running off the articles by Garth Nicholson. After we got to a couple of hundred, you have to understand, hardly anybody publishes more than 100 papers. He's published 450 of them. After we got to a couple of hundred, we figured he was telling the truth. The government, they have actually come in and tried to destroy his blood specimens of the Gulf War veterans. He's been forced out of his tenured position. A tremendous pressure, economic and physical threats made against him. This is not imaginary, ladies and gentlemen. This is the reality of what's going on. And I'm sure Dave will back up much of what I've said. Dave,
absolutely.
I'm sure you've heard similar stories, because, you see, we're under attack today, and somebody doesn't want you to know. Now, let's go right to Charmaine here first. Hi, Charmaine.
Hello, Dr. Stan. And I'm very honored to talk to you Mr. Riddell?
Riddell, right.
I've got an article here from this week's paper. I suppose you've seen it, Dr. Stan.
Yeah, that was the article about Dr. Garth Nichols.
Yes.
Right.
Joyce's name is in here, and they actually mention the microplasma in here, and they have the whole story. In fact, I faxed some of these around.
Yeah, why don't you fax that one to me?
Well, I'll work on that. I'll work on that tonight.
Okay. Anything else?
Be sure you say your fax number. I don't have my pencil.
It's 464-8427.
464-8427,
right.
8427, all right. I'll fax it to you this evening.
And the story's beginning to come out, and we've just got to make sure that the people responsible for lying and for sacrificing the lives of these boys, because how many have died already as far as you can figure, Dave?
Our figures, the best estimate that we can get right now, because we're not getting any official numbers from the government or from the Veterans Administration for obvious reasons, the best guesstimate that we can give is somewhere between 15 and 18,000, because, you know, there are so many guys that, as Dr. Stephen Joseph has said, have fallen through the cracks, people in the reserves that are no longer in touch. So that's the only way that we can guesstimate. Now, that's just military personnel. We do know now that that this is into the general population. We are now getting letters from civilians, people that had no connection whatsoever with the Gulf War, and yet they have the symptoms now, too. So
okay.
This is bigger than we could possibly imagine it right now.
And, of course, if we do not do what's right, we're going to be in the same tragic situation that the people of Iraq and the Kuwait are. Anything
Absolutely.
Else, Charmaine?
Well, I haven't got started yet, Dr. Stan. I want to make one comment and then one last question. I think that I have the video and I have the materials from Joyce, and I cannot watch that video without breaking down and crying, because this is a tragedy and a shame on our government. And people, as citizens of this great United States, who used to be a great country, should all rally for these poor boys and girls that went over there to lay down their lives if necessary for whatever reason, that they were mind-controlled into doing so. Nonetheless, they joined the United States military, and this is a shame on all of us that people are not coming to their aid. And your wife, I have prayed for her safety and protection, and thank God for this woman. I cannot watch that video. The price of the video is very economical. It's only $20. People need to get it. It's worth the price of the video just for the song at the beginning. It's an incredible
Bless
song.
Bless your heart.
And I want to add that she makes these materials available for free to the veterans that went to the Gulf War.
That's right.
And that is just something that's unheard of. And your wife is a saint. She is a saint. And I just worship. I don't worship her, but I just thank God for her. Now, I want to ask you one question, sir. Now, what is the likelihood of a just a normal person running around out here picking up one of these microplasms? How prevalent is it in society at large? And I'll take my answer off the air, and God bless you, Dr. Stan. I'll fax this to you later on this evening.
Okay, thanks.
Goodbye.
Okay. Right now, at the present time, what are the chances of people picking this up? Certainly, I've heard that some of the doctors and nurses have gotten it. Certainly the wives, because of the close intimate contact, is actually transferable by aerosol, isn't it, contrary to HIV?
Well, Dr. Nicholson has made that statement. Now, I don't know if I would want to go out and make it myself, because,
okay.
First of all, I'm not a doctor, nor is Joyce. We can only go on the research that is being done by people like Dr. Garth Nicholson. He has made that statement. But we haven't. If it was airborne, I think we would have seen a greater outbreak by now. But I can't say. I mean, if a Gulf War veteran sneezes or coughs on you, I mean, I would want to make sure that I wash my hands and make sure that we, you know, try to do anything we can to avoid contamination. But you know, I don't want to turn the Gulf War veterans into lepers, because it is certainly not the case. Joyce and I travel around the country. We shake hands and we hug Gulf War veterans all the time. But we just, you know, take our precautions. You know, when we go to the bathroom, we wash our hands and make sure that we, you know, we stay clean. That's all there is to it.
Sure, and the condition is treatable, fortunately, and although it may not be curable, it certainly is treatable, and many of the people have recovered. But you have to know what you're treating, and you have to recognize there is this illness there.
That's right.
If not treated, can have serious implications.
And it's very important that as many people as possible get informed. And I thank the caller for making the statements. Bless her heart. I really appreciate what she had to say about Joyce and myself. And thank you very much. But we do want to get this information out to everybody. And as the caller stated, we do provide this information free to Gulf War veterans, to doctors, and to members of the media. All we ask is that they will write to us. And I want to give the phone number, if that's okay.
You go right ahead. I'm
sorry. The phone number, if you are a Gulf War veteran, if you're a member of the media, if you are a doctor, and you would like free information, we will send you a free video. It's about an hour and 45 minutes. And we'll send you a document package, approximately 100 pages. And as I stated before, it is all documentation. There's a couple reports from Dr. Garth Nicholson. Please call this number, 281-587-5437. Again, it's 281-587-5437. Now, if you are not a Gulf War veteran and you would like to obtain this information, we have several different things that we have available. Of course, the video is $20 plus shipping and handling. The document package is $10 plus shipping and handling. And today I've been playing clips from Schwarzkopf's testimony. We have put together a one-hour cassette and an accompanying booklet that contains 87 pages, 100% documentation. And we are making that available for a $10 donation plus shipping and handling. And the phone number to dial is 1-800-201-7892, extension 40. Again, it's 800-201-7892, extension 40. Now, if you call that number and you get the video and the documents and the Schwarzkopf testimony, there's another extra tape that we'll throw in. It's called Voices of the Veterans. It's a one-hour cassette. Joyce gives an overview of the Gulf War illness, and we have the testimony of five Gulf War veterans, and they explain in their own words what it's like to live with this devastating disease. So, again, the phone number is 1-800-201-7892, extension 40. Please help us to get this information out, because you're not getting it from your mainstream, and we've got to make America understand that if General Schwarzkopf can sit there and lie to that Senate panel, and I should point out that Senator Spector, Senator Rockefeller, Senator Nighthorse Campbell all sat there and listened to this man tell his stories, and all three of those individuals sat on a Senate panel in 1994 and had prior knowledge. They knew what the truth was, and they didn't question Schwarzkopf on it.
And, of course, Colin Powell has made exactly the same statements. There were no chemical weapons used. I was never informed of that.
That's right. And understand, America, that if your government will lie to you about something as important as this, and now we're hearing on the news that they lied to us about the missile that brought down Flight 800. They lied to us about Waco. Some new information now has come out about the Waco tragedy. They lied to us and several guys were reprimanded about Randy Weaver. They lied to us about the Oklahoma City. Just 2 weeks ago, they said that there's evidence that was destroyed. Ladies and gentlemen, if they lied to us about your Gulf War, maybe they're lying about everything else, and these so-called right-wingers are right.
Well, what we really need to do is get responsible, God-fearing people who believe in the Constitution into government, and that is the responsibility of the public. We're going to have to take our... Well, this is Dr. Stan, our guest this afternoon, Dave Riddell. We're talking about the Gulf War syndrome, at least that part of it that is related to infection with, apparently an infection with a mycoplasm, and we've got Tom on the line. Hi, Tom.
Good afternoon. I was wondering, in your opinion, what is motivating the government to do the cover-up? Is it... The only thing I can think of is money, or they're worried about being accused of treason, or more worse, I suspect the government basically declared war on the American people and they're conducting a program of genocide.
Well, what's your take on that, David?
Well, that's a very astute caller you've got, because I think it's all of the above. Why the cover-up? Well, first of all, there are many, many different companies that were involved in the manufacture and sale of these forbidden weapons to Iraq. So I think that the criminal implication is fairly obvious, and the lawsuits that would ensue would be absolutely gargantuan in size. Now, as far as the criminal aspect is concerned, the political aspect, yes, I do believe that we're looking at flat-out treason, because this information was brought to the Senate floor, again, by Senator Donald Regal in 1994, and what most Americans are not aware of is that we are literally still at war with Iraq. Now, George Bush signed Public Law 102-25 on April 6th of 1991. Now, that law established the beginning date of August 2nd, 1990 for the Persian Gulf War, and it said that the war would end on the date thereafter prescribed by presidential proclamation or by law. And to this day, there has been neither presidential proclamation or law, so we are still at war with Iraq. Now, if we are at war with Iraq, and Senator Riegel brings forth information that would prevent death and disease to our Gulf War veterans and their families, and that information is withheld by your senators, and yes, every sitting senator that's there now knew about this. If that information is withheld and that results in death and disease, I contend that this is aiding the enemy at time of war, and by very definition, by the Constitution, this is treason.
Well, as someone once said, treason never doth prosper, for if it should prosper, and then they're called it treason.
That's right.
Okay, anything else, Tom?
Well, that covers two of the bases. What about the third in that, do you think the government is launching a war, a genocide on the American people?
Well, it's not the government, Tom. It is this small group of evil people. It is not America, but it is the wicked people working behind the scenes who do have an agenda of the same people who are pushing genocide in China today and throughout the world in the name of population control, the same people who are allowing the AIDS epidemic to explode across Africa while they effectively block any efforts to do widespread testing to find out if a vaccine will stop the epidemic. It's the same people who outlaw DDT and are discouraging young women from finding out that they are risking their own lives when they have a first trimester abortion because they may get breast cancer. It is part of this genocidal mentality, not the government. It is the wicked people who work within our society.
Well, it's a good question. You mentioned senators sitting right there and listening to lies, and they didn't call them on it, so it seems to be fairly well entrenched. And I keep going back to what in the world are they, what we can do about it, but thank you. This is certainly a very informative program.
Okay.
Step on that direction.
Fine. Thanks so very much, Tom. Okay, fine. Well, David, as you go around the country, and you, I'm sure you're telling, you and Joyce are telling this story all across America. I know you were on the Peter Ford Show just a couple of nights ago because I talked to Peter. And incidentally, for our listeners, that is a program, I believe it's KFI Los Angeles. It's heard in New York City. It's heard in Washington simultaneously, although it's late at night. Has a vast, vast reach. Awful lot of people listen to it. And Peter, that's Glenn Ford's son, actually.
Right.
And you were just on there the other day. What sort of response did you get from that program?
Well, we're getting response. I mean, people are just crawling out of the woodwork now. Ever since, we're getting some national recognition with the Los Angeles Times article. The story has been nationwide. Somebody called us and actually said that it was mentioned on Meet the Press. Last Sunday.
Meet the Depressed, is that it? Or Depraved, something of that sort.
Yeah, well, you see, the thing is that Joyce has been screaming this from the rooftops for the past 2 years, and since I joined forces with her a little over about a year and a half ago, we've been trying to get this out to the mainstream for an awful long time, and there were many talk show hosts that would introduce Joyce and say, we got a real wacko on the line tonight. She thinks that the Gulf War illness is bacteriological and it's communicable and a result of biological warfare. Let's see if we can get this crazy person on. So anyway, these talk show hosts now are calling up Joyce and saying, gee, how does it feel to be vindicated? And Joyce responds by saying, sir, I never did anything wrong. I don't have to be vindicated. It is you that has to be vindicated.
Well, fortunately, she won't have to say that to us because we've always known that the material she was putting out was accurate. And I just applaud both of you and Joyce for having the courage to stand up and tell what the truth was. But, of course, the tragedy is an awful lot of American boys have died, an awful lot of Iraqis and Kuwait, and these are our fellow human beings. And, of course, we think it's their problem. It's not their problem. It's our problem because every individual is a unique creation made in the image and likeness of God. And if the American people really don't care about the genocide that's taking place in Iraq and Kurdistan and Kuwait and in Africa today, do you really think God will protect America and the people here One only has to read the Bible to see what happens to people when they become callous and indifferent, and they turn their backs on the Lord who gave his life and who gave his liberty.
That's right.
Okay, yeah. we've got Mike, a quick call here. We're just about out of time.
Yeah, speaking of what your guest is saying about we're still technically at war with Iraq, oddly enough, there was a very recent executive order written by Clinton, May 13th, 1996, that terminated the combat zones in Vietnam. Now, this went some 30 years. You know, I'm not kidding. This is an amendment to the original executive order that established the combat zones in Vietnam, written in 1965.
Well, I think we can all feel much, much better knowing that happened.
Well, I don't think they did this by accident, and I'm really curious why it took so long.
I have no idea, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any thoughts on that, Dave?
Well, I can't answer that, but this is a clear demonstration that the powers that be in Washington are counting on the fact that America is sound asleep. And I'm sorry, people are waking up and they're starting to recognize the lie. And I'm sorry, ladies and gentlemen, once you become aware of a lie, and if you do nothing to expose that lie, you then become part of that lie. And I, sir, will not live a lie. Joyce and I will not stop.
Well, let me give those telephone numbers again here, Dave. If you are not a Gulf War veteran and you want to get the material, you call 1-800-201-7892. If you are a veteran and you want to get the material, they will send this to you free of charge at 281-587-5437. That's 281-587-5437. If you didn't get those numbers, why, you can always call here at Radio Liberty, and Don at the board will certainly get them for you. Dave, this is a very, very serious matter, because for the first time, America itself is under attack. And that is because the people who are in this whole incredible cabal have no loyalty to America, but to an internationalist dream. I'm sure they'll have the doxycycline for themselves and for their families. But, of course, since they deny there's an illness, they're not giving it to the boys at the veterans' hospitals, many of whom have died totally unnecessarily. An incredible, incredible story. But, of course, tragically, as Lord Byron says, 'tis strange but true, for truth is always strange. Stranger
right.
than fiction. So thank you so very much for all of your efforts, and we'll look forward to having either you or Joyce or perhaps both of you as our guests on Saturday as we talk to the Los Angeles Basin. Our Saturday program reaches from San Diego all the way up to Santa Barbara, an amazing opportunity to reach people with the truth.
Thank you so much for having me on there, Stan, and I appreciate all of your listeners and the support that we're having.
Amen. Bye-bye, and may the Lord protect both of you.
God save the Republic.
Right. Bye-bye.